hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owijan? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back and forth with you once again today. Also, again, we are a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on board there. Really appreciate it. Lots of wonderful, wonderful shows out there. Obviously, San Jose Sharks, New Jersey Devils. I've had awesome, awesome shows. Definitely check them out. I've been retweeting them off and on. So, yes, Vegas Golden Knights and Edmonton Oilers are in intermission at the moment I'm recording this Saturday night. So I'm doing my third Saturday night Brave the Wild. I kind of like doing it on Saturday night a little bit. Maybe I'll be doing some off-season shows this way as we go forward. We'll see. Saturdays, Sundays, here and there. It's definitely weekends most of the time. Maybe like a rainy morning if I can't do a lawn work. But believe it or not, I'm doing this after lawn work and I feel okay. So not too beat up. Enough about me. This should be a one-segment shot. The only reason I would split it into segments is to get the ads in, because we do have two of them, thanks to DraftKings, who are our regular sponsor on the Hockey Podcast Network, not because of Brave the Wild, but because of the Hockey Podcast Network. And, of course, Raycon, which is wonderful. Great to have them on board during the month of May, and that's more a motivation for me to do the shows here in May during the postseason. And, it is an absolute pleasure. So going to be kind of some mailbag lightning round from Derek Felska. I absolutely love it very much. Kind of like follow-up. That's like this show's main thing is kind of follow-up for like the postseason pressers with the players and obviously Bill Guerin, Michael Russo exchange that obviously got blown up on Twitter. It's like most of us that pay attention, you know it's not an actual fight or anything. It wasn't at all a fight. Just kind of, you know, Bill Guerin's just kind of pissed off about the end of the season and, you know, a little bit of a interesting exchange about is the season a failure, this and that. And it's ironic how about a week or so ago when the Milwaukee Bucks got knocked out in the first round of the NBA playoffs, just like the Boston Bruins, the best record in the entire league for the season, getting knocked out in the first round, a reporter asked, Giannis, who obviously is the best player on the Bucks, and he's been a league MVP and all that, and he was the finals MVP a few years ago, was the season a failure? And then Giannis kind of went into a long like thing about how is it a failure and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a disappointing end, blah, 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 blah. So that type of deal. So I might as well jump into the whole failure thing right here, right now, since it's kind of a little list of topics to get into. I have five things written down that are just kind of headliners, you can say. Obviously, the Billy versus Russo about, is this season a failure? Okay, so bottom line, the regular season was a success. The regular season I consider a success, considering the salary cap situation and how the Wild did struggle for a time and were able to kind of right the ship, so to speak, and wonderful, wonderful trade deadline moves that made a huge difference as far as I'm concerned. So the regular season was a success. But that does not mean the postseason was anywhere near a success. And anyone saying that it was a failure is, well, if you're being called a bad fan today, I think most people are way off track, calling you a bad fan for daring to say that the end of the season was a failure. Yes, it was. The regular season was a success, considering the cap situation. So that's kind of my point of view, my personal point of view. Now you got all these pending unrestricted free agents. Good stuff. Nyquist, $2.75 million, basically. Oscar Sundquist, same salary, interestingly. Considering how productive Nyquist was, it's interesting to consider that. Obviously, incredible playmaking skills. 33 of years of age already, which is kind of surprising. Ryan Reeves, $1.75 million. All unrestricted free agents, all three of these guys. I'd love to bring Sundquist back, considering his position, and he's been a winner in the postseason. He's under 30, believe it or not. Ryan Reeves is 36 now, 35 into 36, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be super interesting. At most, you're probably looking at like $1 million, one year, $1 million, and would Ryan Reeves take that? Maybe 1.25, maybe. So that's kind of conversation. Yes, I'm kind of branching all over the place here, and I apologize. I should probably get back to the Billy versus Russo season failure thing, because we could talk about contracts near the end of this the general topics, and then of course we jump into the fan interaction, and I may merge them into the whole conversation anyway. I understand Billy G's point of view, generally speaking, like, why would you call it a failure and this and that, and there's a bigger goal, you know, than just getting to the second round. And then Russo came back, well, you have to get to the second round to get to the Stanley Cup final and win it and all that. Yeah, honestly, they're both right. It's just kind of a frustrating situation. Like, yeah, this is, you know, it was a bullcrap end of the season. You know, this team competed. This team looked like they could have done something in the playoffs. And then when the playoffs showed up, it was kind of like a broken record, kind of like last season. Everything looked semi-promising. Heck, we had home ice advantage in the first round, didn't we? And we didn't take advantage of the home ice advantage. We just didn't at all. Our home record has sucked the entire postseason history of the franchise, and I've gotten into that probably too many times. Most of you are probably like, oh, don't do it again, Joey, please. I won't this time, okay? I'll probably bring it up again in the future, though. So don't think I'm done. Especially if the Wild have home ice advantage in the first round next year. You will be reminded of the Wild history in series where they had home ice advantage. It's going to have to happen because things need to change. It needs to change. About getting to the second round, yeah, sure. It would be nice to get to the second round. Does it make the season a smashing success? Of course not. It would just be the regular season was a success in its own right. The fact that you ended up having your quote-unquote backup goalie become a legitimate starting goalie in this league. The fact that, well, you were able to overcome Kirill Kaprizov's injury and see Matt Boldy get to 30 goals, which was really nice. And then after that, he stopped playing, it seemed like, which is really weird. Your bet is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine as to why that happened, other than mental. Like, mental, not in an insult, just it's a mental thing. You just think, the big cat is back, so now I got to go back into the corner. Big brother's back, so I got to go back in the corner. You know, I mean, heck, let's just say I have a friend who was a bowler, who was a really good bowler, but his brother was the best bowler on the team. And then the little brother started his own little bowling team, you know, like obviously started his own little private bowling team for fun and this and that. And then it's like him and his friend ended up bowling way better than they had in the past when they were in high school, because now they're young adults. But then the big brother came to join on the team, and you think, this is going to be a superb team. And then the little brother, who was a star, suddenly wasn't, because it was weird. He suddenly started to not bowl as well as he was before the big brother came. True story. It was a mental thing. And that's, I guess, kind of what happened to Boldy. That's my personal assessment of it, other than, come on, dude, step it up and stop playing like a, stop being something. Stop being what Arnold Schwarzenegger called guys in movies. Stop being such a, starts with a P, ends with a Y. That kind of thing. That's probably what Bill Guerin said in a lot of ways, because, yeah, that's where the frustration came in. That's kind of like merging into the other topic. Matt Boldy got a licking from Billy G about being too cute and not going to the net at all in the playoffs. Yeah, he got a licking, where it looked like Boldy was, like, you know, shell-shocked. He'd been the crap beat out of him. Yes, I'm paraphrasing what Russo said about the shell-shocked part. Yes, okay, fine. I'm admitting it. But it's been reported by Michael Russo, okay? And then, but we also all saw the same thing. We saw a guy who just wasn't the same guy who was kicking some major butt, you know, putting the shot on net, being aggressive, and looking like a guy that could be somebody that you'd really have a great feeling of for the future of your franchise as being the best or second best player on the team, depending on the situation. Kind of like Kevin Fiala. A couple of years back when we ended up losing in the bleeping bubble, Kevin Fiala had emerged as the best player on the team for that period. And before that, he was skittish, coming off of a broken femur. Boldy looked like a star. And then all of a sudden, he became skittish again. And it's like, come on, man. And Boldy had been skittish for an extended period. So basically, and unfortunately, just the playoffs are different. The playoffs are different. We saw guys, you know, kind of putting the shot on net, and it works sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah, but as long as you're getting the shot on net, that's a start. But in the playoffs, it is a different game. I mean, you literally have to kind of, you know, you have to muck it up. You have to get the crap beat out of you. You have to do what it takes. maybe that's the real reason why guys wear playoff beards. It covers up all the scrapes and injuries and such on their, possibly on their pretty face, so to speak, when they're, you know, going to the net. It's just how it is. And I'm making that up, but I'm just having fun. But maybe that is the original reason. Vegas finally scored. Apparently they were trailing 5-0 to the future Stanley Cup champion Edmonton Oilers, according to some. Put it this way, though. If Edmonton plays like they have been, there's a chance Edmonton could win the Stanley Cup this year. Sure. Sure. Is it a complete team like the old days? No. No. The closest thing to that was Boston, and, well, for some reason, President's Trophy teams don't win. Again, why that is, I don't know. They just don't. They just don't. It's kind of like the Minnesota Vikings. They make the playoffs and they stop playing for some reason. But that's a Minnesota thing. That's a little different. So, again, we kind of merge all the topics together as we go, this and that. I mean, it is all kind of relative, again. But, yeah, Boldy just simply needs to, you know, show that. And like I was saying on the last... Whoa, that was a good hit. As I was saying on the last episode. Whew! And the last episode about how, you know, before we even had this conversation about Boldy being too cute or this or that, it was, yeah, I mean, it was kind of related. Like, the guy needs to bulk up. Like, he didn't look... Plain and simple, he didn't look confident out there. He didn't look confident out there. That's where the whole mental thing comes in, too. He didn't look confident out there. He just kind of looked like a guy who was kind of in over his head a little bit. You know, that's where the too cute stuff comes in. He was kind of maybe in over his head, wasn't really confident, kind of played like a guy who was, it was in like his first couple weeks in the NHL, and bam, it's the postseason, and it's the Dallas Stars. Holy crap. It's the Dallas Stars. Oh boy, now what? Okay, let's see if I can get that shot. Okay, well, it was on net at least, you know, rather than mucking it up, this and that. No, the guy needs to bulk up more. He still kind of has that boyish look. I'm sure he's a tough guy. I'm sure he's a lot tougher than, you know, like, say, far be it for me to go and try to take on Matt Boldy out there, where he'd probably have me laying on the ice crying. Probably, anyway. But just saying, compared to the other NHL players, yeah, I mean, the other NHL players, the veterans, the grown men, this and that, it would be an interesting situation out there. And Boldy needs to, he needs to get stronger. He needs to get stronger, more confident, more swagger, so to speak. And that's kind of the next step in Boldy's career. That needs to happen. And with that will come more consistency. Plain and simple. Right? No, I'm teasing. Kind of. Marc-Andre Fleury was willing, basically was asked by, you know, the Russos of the world. Yes, and yes, Russo was the one that actually asked the specific question. And it was kind of an ongoing thing about how, yes, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah, I'm tired of moving. You know, I was with Vegas, for, you know, I was with Penguins forever, and then Vegas for an extended period, and then all of a sudden it's Chicago and then Minnesota. It's like, okay, I'm tired of moving. I'd like to stick around, even as a backup goalie. Would you be willing to be the backup? He's like, yeah, of course, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing to hear. And Marc-Andre Fleury has been the backup before, of course, and he was backup with Robin Leonard at times, even in Vegas, and of course he was the backup with Matt Murray, who ended up winning the Stanley Cup. It was during two playoff runs and one whole regular season, basically, where Marc-Andre Fleury had become one of the better backups in the NHL and before moving on to Vegas in the expansion draft with that big salary he had at the time and all of that. So where they were able to move on, like, hey, you know, let him have his full playing time and everything again, gets to help start out a new team in a new city, and they almost won the Stanley Cup until they went into a buzzsaw called Washington at the time. But yeah, Fleury's been a backup before. He wasn't tearing the room down, and he was a better goalie than he is now. Marc-Andre Fleury is an average goalie now. He's an average goalie. And I said that on the last episode. I probably said it on the four out of the last five episodes. He's an average goalie at this stage of his career. And it first started showing with Chicago. And he came here and he was about the same as he was with Chicago. Not quite as bad, but about the same. Chicago was a bleeping mess. Chicago was starting over, and players were bored and disinterested, with a few exceptions. So that kind of was what that was. But the Minnesota Wild defense has not been as good the last couple of years. Not until Brock Faber came on, anyway, where you're actually seeing some real, legitimate, super professional defense out there from a guy who gave up 0 goals when he was on the ice. during the playoffs. So that's an extremely encouraging sign with Brock Faber. So, and he already sounds like he could be like a veteran leader on the team. He's not, but he could be in the not-too-distant future. Eventually, they're probably going to have certain players. Well, obviously, certain players are not going to be here anymore. One specifically, a right-shot defenseman who was on the second pairing, who's probably going to be replaced by a right-shot defenseman on the second pairing next year, probably. So, again, we'll get to that very shortly. But that's kind of where things are with all of that. The defensemen weren't real good in front of Marc-Andre Fleury and Gustafsson at times during the season, and they certainly weren't last year either. It was a huge mess. Last year was kind of a little bit of everything, neutral zone, turnovers and such, and that's kind of plagued this team forever. So that's an ongoing blah-bitty-blah situation with myself here over-babbling here at the moment. Joel Eriksson-Ek apparently had a broken fibula. Did it officially break when he took that single shift in game number 3? Well, that was not clarified at all. He may have already had a broken bone, and that might be why he was like, okay, forget it. Sometimes you just don't know. And not to make it about me, because it's not about me. It's about Joel Eriksson-Ek here. But it's just kind of relating the situation a little bit. I had a crack in my scaphoid bone in my wrist, and I played basketball with it. And I didn't, because before I thought the doctor had an inconclusive x-ray on the wrist. And then it's like, man, it hurts like hell, but I'm okay for now. But the pain just never went away. And it just never went away. And clearly I couldn't hang on to the ball like I normally could. Now, this is just casual basketball. This isn't like I was in some kind of varsity or anything at the time. It was just kind of casual basketball, but out playing and all that. But clearly something wasn't right, and eventually, oh, it's broken. Crap. No wonder the discomfort. Now imagine putting your whole body pressure on a broken bone in your ankle or your leg, so to speak. It's like the bottom of your leg, basically, that connects to your ankle. That's where the fibula is. That's what I'm trying to say here. It's one thing to shoot a basketball with your right wrist, your shooting wrist, right? It's another thing to have your body weight on skates and making turns. And then it's like, oh, shit, pardon my French, I'm out of here. And that's kind of what happened. It was like, and he was skating just fine. But then, see, when you're, during practice and everything, I guess he was kind of like, doing the skating, the conditioning that players do. That, I wouldn't know anything about that. Now, would I? No, I wouldn't. Some of you might, but I wouldn't. I need to get in better shape, and I need to get out there and skate in the winter and in the summer. Yes, I do. I think all of us should. It's probably really good for your health. Actually, in fact, it is. But just imagine that, though. See, playing in an NHL game, it's so different. There's just more. You're skating for real on an actual shift in an NHL playoff game. And then it's like, oh, S-bomb. Oh, shit. The pain. The holy crap. Because there's nothing like a broken bone. There is an added level of pain with a broken bone, even versus a bruise. Bruises hurt like hell, but then there's that magical extra level of pain with a broken bone, even if it's just a crack. It is insane. That's what happened. And unfortunately, so that he had a broken fibula. Damn it. Can't wait to see him next year. And what a wonderful few steps he took forward this year. I think he took multiple steps forward in this season, or at least one giant step. Wonderful year for Joel Eriksson-Ek. And, him not being there certainly did not help the Wild's chances in the playoffs, but it kind of looked like they had a chance. It really did. Games number 1 and 3 looked like the Wild had a chance, but then Dallas did a Pittsburgh Penguins, basically. Maybe not quite as bad, like scoring the first 4 goals and... it was like the first 4 goals in playoff history or something, Stanley Cup final history in game number 4, the Stanley Cup final back in 99, finals, I'd rather keep it that way, back in 91. And then fans were like, what the hell just happened here? And then after that, Pittsburgh just buzzsawed the Wild right out of the Stanley Cup finals of 91. And it was kind of almost like that, in a way. Took game 1, you took game 3, holy crap, we're going to win this thing? No, you're not. It was sad, and that's kind of what happened with St. Louis. But Dallas is better than last year's St. Louis team, let's just say. So about all the free agents people were talking about, I was personally hoping for Gustav Nyquist because I love what he does out there. I really was impressed with Gustav Nyquist. He's getting older, unfortunately. You still have Klingberg is an unrestricted free agent. Sundqvist is an unrestricted free agent. Nyquist and Mojo. Marcus Johansson. Well, it looks like Marcus Johansson, at the very least, thanks to his chemistry with Boldy, particularly during that red-hot run, earned him at least two more years with the Minnesota Wild. Another guy who's tired of moving around and willing to stick around actually got a small raise as well, because he was only making how much? Only making 1.1. I mean, that's about what I'd offer Mr. Ryan Reeves, if he'd be willing to do that for one single year, maybe two, during the cap hell situation. It kind of is what it is. But Marcus Johansson, two years, $2 million per going forward. So he'll be here during both cap hell years, as with the maximum cap hell, so to speak. And then in the summer of 25, we finally get a huge break, and we're down to what, like 1.6 is a whatever million, because like 800,000 plus for each player. No, yeah, 1.6 is after that. million in the Suter and Parisi dead cap situation. A $2 million jump in it. This year was the huge buildup. See, the first year, okay, we were in that 1.6 deal. It was really small and everything. It was wonderful to not be a huge problem right away. That's why we were able to keep Kevin Fiala for one more year. But thank God we were still able to trade him for Faber and all that. But, so it went from, it went up to 12.743588. Now it's 14.73588 for this year and the next, and then you get a $13.1 million break in cap space in the summer of 25. That is going to feel really nice. Really, really nice indeed. So we're going to get to some more conversation here briefly. I'm going to jump into DraftKings right now, right here and right now, just for the sake of making sure that I get it in there. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. So, yes, really excited about that. No question about it. most people probably... Vegas ahead, but then again, Edmonton Oilers came into this one a -205, so that was probably a better way to go. Most people had to assume that Edmonton was probably going to tie the sucker up. -205, Vegas was +165. Going into Sunday, though, the Carolina Hurricanes are just kicking major butoxes. Sunday, May the 7th, Carolina -230, New Jersey 195, the Toronto and Florida series. Toronto +180, Florida 210. Dang, Florida, what is going on there? Head to Seattle, the Dallas Stars +185, the Seattle Kraken -215. So we're going to get back into the postseason here very shortly. Apologize for my going back and forth here, but I wanted to get that in right time, right place. Again, Marcus Johansson, 2 years, $2 million added. Matt Boldy, the $7 million is just kicking in, so there's $9 million on the list here that wouldn't have been there otherwise. You can't lose Boldy though; that would have been terrible. Marcus Johansson, I mean, hey, if he has a good connection with Matt Boldy, good for him. Freddie Goudreau also signed a 5-year extension, 2.1, so he will be here well after the cap hill is gone. Brandon Duhaime, he's a guy I think the Wild absolutely keep. Mason Shaw, same thing. I think you want to keep both of them. Mason Shaw is 24, Brandon Duhaime's 25. Connor Dewar, we don't have to worry about him until next year, only 800,000. So good deal there. Sam Steele, I think if you have to keep one, keep the other, that type of deal with Duhaime and all them, I think Steele's the odd man out of that group, even though he plays an important position called center. But Brandon Duhaime, I think there's something there. If the son of a gun can stay healthy, there's something there. And Shaw, there's absolutely something there. Again, if he can stay healthy. And I hope he does. Matt Zuccarello, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with him. He was extremely disappointing. Yet, you get rid of him. Kirill Kaprizov, I mean, he's the last guy you want to piss off right now. So, you have that to think about and consider. Odds of keeping Nyquist, very slim. Sundqvist, maybe, if you can get him down. But maybe not. He plays an all-important position. But and, of course, you can only call up so many of the young guys. So many of the young guys are actually ready to play in the National Hockey League at this stage. It can't be just all young guys coming up. Like somebody went as far during one of the Russo questions on the show. What's it called? Straight from the Source. They asked him, are we going to really go super young? And despite the fact they're inexperienced, because, you know, why the heck not? Like, even like a Carson Lambos. And it's like, no. And earlier in the year, when I was talking about Carson Lambos playing on the Wild next year, I was thinking if he ever did, it would be like a game. It would be like a game, like, what the hell? That's all it would be. I was not considering Carson Lambos being on the Wild next season. If young guys are going to be on the Wild for an extended period, if it's 10 games, if it's 5 games, if it's 50 games, and obviously 50 might be far-fetched for some of them, but we could be talking about probably Damon Hunter or O'Rourke. It sounds like Damon Hunt is actually slightly further along than O'Rourke, actually, which is a little surprising. I thought it would be O'Rourke, but Hunt is a really talented guy. I think he slipped a little bit further in the draft in 2020 because of a injury / sickness situation kind of type of thing. So it was kind of weird. So the whole mystery behind that may have scared people off a tiny bit, and that's why he slipped to 65th. But Damon Hunt is a hell of a player, and obviously he's not necessarily a future star unless he is, I guess. But I doubt it. But he'll at least be. He's at least a legitimate building block to the defensive core to the Minnesota Wild future. And I do see Ryan O'Rourke similarly, with a little less offensive talent, the Damon Hunt. Neither one of them showed a whole lot of offensive ability in Iowa this year, but they're just getting started and getting used to the defensive part of the game. Who's Nadinov? A lot of people believe that he will be an NHL player when he comes to the United States. I agree. I think he'll be far enough along in his career, and again, the position of need. It's a combination of need along with the fact that he plays a defensive game already. That's a huge thing. It's not like, oh boy, he's got to play a defensive game. Like, even like a guy like a Marian Gabrick, it's like, come on, man, you know, you got to play two sides a little better. You know, like the Boldies, like the Pavel Dimitra's way back in the day, God rest his soul. But so that's your situation there with some of the young guys. And all that, Marco Rossi, is he going to make it? Is he going to make it, or is he a worse version of Benoit Pouliot? One assist in 21 NHL games is kind of scary. It's kind of scary. I don't know, for a guy as touted as he was, it's kind of scary. We're way past that 1 year that he missed now. That's long gone, folks. Long gone. And I would hope he's the last person that want to even use that as a crutch in any form. Because that'd be embarrassing. So I truly doubt he even wants that. Ugrin and Yurov look extremely promising. Obviously, they will not be on the Minnesota Wild next season. Duh. Lambos will be getting his feet wet in the AHL next year. I'm very excited about that. Guys like Lambos, possibly Jack Peart. We'll see. Jack Peart's probably going to go back to the St. Cloud State Huskies, I think, right? He didn't sign a professional contract yet. Caden Bankier, yeah. Oh, very, very excited. Kyle Masters as well. They're eligible to be on the Iowa Wild, going from juniors to Iowa versus college to Iowa. Usually college players hang around 3 years, honestly, sometimes four. So we'll have to wait and see with that. Swainy, guys like that. So who are going to fill some of those gaps? Hard to say. It's hard to say who's going to fill some of those gaps. So obviously you're going to want some veterans on the team. Sundqvist, I think, again, the fact that his position is a huge value. He's won cups, or a cup anyway. He's won a Stanley Cup with St. Louis. And I don't know, he was a piece. He was a piece. He's clearly got talent. It was really strange that he... Oh, boy. It was really strange that he didn't... That's too bad. It was really strange that he didn't get a whole lot of ice time in the postseason. In fact, really... Yeah, basically not at all. So it's a damn shame. I feel, you know, it felt like a huge waste. Like, he should have been out there. And wasn't the whole point of getting him was because of his playoff experience and his extremely valuable position. So it's just a, you know, it's a doggone shame. Maybe the Wild bring him back. Maybe they don't. But Marcus Johansson is back. Did I end the topics? Am I done babbling about the topics? Yes, I am. For the time being, anyway. And then, so now, right before we get to fan interaction, let's hear from Raycon. Raycon, right here and right now. Let's face it, with coffee starting at $5, yes, even without any customizations, and our bank accounts somehow always depleting, We are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate or dupe is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on: Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. Unless at work, they won't let you, which is annoying. But otherwise, the quality of these things is legitimate, and I've been a fan for years. I'm not just saying this because there's an ad in front of me. This is the real thing. I am a fan of Raycon earbuds. I have a blue pair that I've had for at least 2 years. Originally got it off the Angry Video Game Nerd ad, so why the heck not? I think it was 10%. This one's 15%, so definitely something worth it. And I can absolutely vouch for the quality and the more realistic price, or the more reasonable price compared to like some of them out there that are way up there, like $200. That's crazy. So this is much more reasonable. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. Yeah, these are not the $30 ones that sound, they're not like that. Those are out there. These are not the type. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of the other big name tech brands out there. Yep. We don't need to name names, do we? Raycon knows that in this economy, we don't need to name names either. Every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options. Right now, you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. Crazy. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They offer free domestic shipping and flat fee international shipping. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Absolutely sweet. 3 customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions, noise isolation, and I can vouch for that absolutely. It's been my noisy job, particularly in the lunchroom, but yeah, anywhere. Awareness mode, customizable gel tips for the perfect quality, most comfortable in-ear fit, crystal clear call quality. Yes, absolutely. Water and sweat resistant, which is awesome. 8 hours of play time. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. They're not going to just up and die on you like some of those more expensive ones, by the way. So that is my personal endorsement, but also, again, the other things like noise isolation, all that. Yep, absolutely. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN, that's the Hockey Podcast Network, today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN. That's right. So let's head over to fan interaction time. Let's hashtag BTWMN is how we like to do it. Of course, I'm about as prepared as a goofball, but what else is new? May the 1st be with you. May the 4th be with you. Yep, May the 1st, May Day, May Day. I did a show last week on Sunday night, I believe. That was May 1st? Or was that Saturday night? I think that was Sunday. Yeah, that was Sunday night. I did a show. That was Monday. Or did I do it Sunday night? Nope, I did do it on Monday morning, I guess. Weird. It must have been very strange. One and done deja vu. Yep, so that was the most recent episode. This one, again, is kind of getting caught up in all that. Yep, I just read something funny. That one has to stay private. True. Yep. Let's just say I agree with something Derek Falska said. In the private message conversations. Did I vote? I believe I did. Yeah, yep. One of those polls here. And again, I believe there's a show coming tomorrow, though I haven't seen any bat signals sent out yet about you have to comment away, so to speak, from Crease and Assist. But hashtag Crease Assist, you want to comment on that show. Hashtag BTWMN, comment on mine. And you could even put the hashtag on both, I think. But, well, maybe I shouldn't speak for Derek, though. But, yeah, I don't know. Me, personally, I wouldn't be offended at all if you did that. Derek, if you like that, cool. If not, I understand as well. So, what was I hashtagging? BTW, man. Yep, Fleury wants to return to Wild even as a backup. Yep, and I talked about that. I was just posting it out there. I believe there's a comment response. Derek Felska says, probably the best option at this point with 1 year left on his contract. I am pretty ambivalent about it. Meh. Yeah, about kind of bringing him back. Yeah, it's like he's average at best, but at least we'll keep him for now and so on and so forth. $3.5 million is the crappy part. Kind of expensive for a backup, but what are you going to do, right? What the hell can you do? Yep, the Wild signed Johansson, 3-year, $4 million. The Derek Felska, again, this is hashtag Crease Assist. Hashtag Crease Assist, a poll he put up. This one's a two-answer poll, agree or disagree. General Manager Bill Guerin said he did not view the 2022-2023 season as a failure. Do you agree with that assessment? For the regular season, yes. For the postseason, no. The postseason was a dismal failure. Dismal. For regular season, I agree that it was a successful regular season. But successful regular seasons don't mean a whole lot. The Boston Bruins are not happy right now after their record-breaking regular season. Believe me. You know, and remember, Colorado a few years ago got the President's Trophy. Vegas got the President's Trophy a few years ago. Were they happy with it? No, of course not. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. They did not. So that sucks. It's no fun having just a good regular season. The 13-4 Minnesota Vikings, was that a successful season? Yeah, in the regular season, for the most part. The defense was freaking awful, but the offense was freaking awesome. And then in the playoffs, they both sucked. It was check down Charlie on offense, and the defense was horseshit. There, now that's my third swear word on the show. I'm going to get an E rating real soon. Not for everyone, but explicit. There ain't no everyone going on here. No. And I'm not trying to isolate anybody that might be annoyed with me swearing, so I do apologize. Yeah. Man, a lot of people voted on that and disagree. Is the leader at the moment with only 8 minutes left. So by the time this show's over, the poll will be done and disagree will be elected president of the postseason decision, or that's your verdict, 52% to 48. Now that I've babbled enough, sorry, keep going. Goudreau to the other one, abdominal surgery. Apparently he had an abdominal injury. I thought it was kind of hernia related, and he'd been playing with it for months, apparently, him being Freddie Goudreau, so he played pretty darn well for such a painful injury. Oh, scary stuff there. No doubt about it. Derek Felska with a little share here from Paul Lucas, FYI, hashtag BGWMN. The designer of one of the universe's great logos has passed away. I better click on this here. Let's do some clicking. Oh, that's the Hartford Whaler logo. Ooh, well, man, that sucks. Peter Good, who designed the Hartford Whalers logo, has died. Peter Good, we will give you a moment of silence. And now, we are going to give you a brass bonanza. You're good. All the respect in the world. Thank you, Derek, for sharing that. This one slipped through. I did not see this. Paul Lucas, I'm going to give you a follow. Well, good luck with that. He's not going to follow back. 140,000 followers, but it's not about me. Thank you for the great tweet, and thank you so much, Derek, for the for sharing it with me. That was very nice of you. I appreciate that. Man, I am a huge, huge, huge fan of the Hartford Whalers. North Stars and Hartford Whalers have my heart forever and ever and ever. And wouldn't you know, they'd both leave town. They'd both lose their name, their logo, their uniforms. It sucks, man. It breaks my, absolutely breaks my heart. So, great logo. And, of course, the hidden H in the middle is one of the coolest things that I didn't even notice until just a few years ago. Realize that? Yeah. There's an H in the middle, like in the, you know, the blank part, just in case, like maybe you're a newbie or you just don't pay attention to that kind of thing, that type of thing. But you're new to hockey maybe, or you're new to, you're just a younger person and you didn't really pay attention to the Hartford Whalers. There's an H in the middle. Now, some of you may have just seen that anyway, just by default. I'm not one of those people. I wish I did. I'm not stupid, but I did not see that one. I was writing thoughts on what the, yep, I this is my bad signal, thoughts on what was said in the pressers and this and that. So it's kind of follow-up. I believe the other people, yep, and you want to always hashtag, yep, Brian Herrera, Jay Bushy, thank you guys so much. And, of course, the Derek Felska lightning round is coming. Jay Bushy opens things off, though. He's leading off with a home run, right? Just like Byron Buxton. No, Buxton doesn't lead off anymore, though. He's like number three. But, sorry, when Buxton used to lead off and he hit home runs. Cap Hill starts next season. And you know what? It was here this year, too. It's just that it hits its maximum peak. See, this was kind of like, you know what this year was? So you consider the next 2 years the total eclipse. See, this is like when the eclipse is already, like, say the sun's already majorly affected. It's like 80% covered. It's like a banana. You know, this is during a total eclipse and everything. See, the next 2 years are the total eclipse. But it was already like a banana. So you put on those special lenses so your eyes are safe, so to speak, and you can look up. And you're like, dang, it's just a little banana. That's all that's left of the sun. That was this past year. But no, next year the salary cap hill really hits the fan, literally, and you get the corona. We're going to get the corona of the Parisi Stewart salary cap type of deal. Okay, I think you've got my point. I've cooking that too long. Tom Hayden responds to him with cheap guys have to step up or the team will be in the lottery. And I'll get back to what Jay said shortly. I'll just get through the replies here. Derek Felska says, I wouldn't have a problem if they went to the lottery for a change, although it would be refreshing to see cheap guys step up too. Wouldn't that be cool? This kind of goes for a little bit. Yep, Steve Snyder, I agree. Seems like it may be time to see what these young guns have or don't have. And Derek Felska wraps up the thread saying, the only issue, most of the forward young guns won't be over here yet. Yeah, see, exactly. That's the problem. The forward ones, there's not really much going on yet. There really isn't. Like, Duhaime and Dewar were kind of guys that were floating around in Iowa, you know, and all that. And like, oh, you know, it's their time. Here we go. So thankfully we have them. But then some of the other guys that are super young, like Hunter Hayden and stuff, they're not ready. So, and then, okay, so I better finish what Derek's saying here, that those guys won't be here yet. The defense ones will be in Iowa, yep. Although for the bottom six, maybe it's a chance if we see a Damon Giroux or Sammy Walker have the NHL chops for a full season. And I would be very happy if that happened. Damon Giroux got an assist in the one game he played, which is actually really encouraging considering he had a pretty lousy year and a half so far in Iowa. It's not been good, like the last year and a half. Sammy Walker looked absolutely great. Unfortunately, he's a little bit older too, kind of like Duhaime. Slightly younger than him, but you get the idea, like when you play like a lot of years in college. So as for Jay Bushy, Cap Hill starts next season. What do you think happens with the roster? And I don't want to say, I went over that already, because that's terrible to say, and I really didn't necessarily go over it all the way, just a little bit. I was kind of moving around a little bit. I think Brandon Duhaime is signed. I think Brandon Duhaime is signed for a small raise, like a prove it type of thing, small kind of raise, not necessarily prove it, but maybe bridge. And Brandon Duhaime is never going to be this expensive guy. I don't think he does have a skill set that could carry him a long way in this league. Partially, unfortunately, he missed enough time this year that it's probably hurting his chances. But I think Sam Steele is not brought back. I think, gun to my head, I think Ryan Reeves is not brought back. I think Ryan Reeves is not brought back because Bill Guerin. Derek Velska could be a GM too, but Bill Guerin said basically something along the lines of he doesn't want specialists. Ryan Reeves is a specialist in terms of the whole tough guy thing. And, I think Ryan Reeves is not brought back. So, gun to my head, Reeves is gone. Sam Steele is gone. Nyquist, maybe. Sundquist is probably the most likely guy remaining out of the trade deadline group that'll be brought back. Dumba's gone. That's a done deal. Dumba is gone. He used a word that we don't like here in Minnesota. He said mini. You know that some people say Australians don't like it when you imitate their accents. We don't like being called mini here. So I'm kind of surprised he said that. Yeah. And I'm kind of teasing him about it. I'm just surprised, though. You'd think he'd know better. Oh, I just love mini. Love mini. You know, and we don't like that, though. That's kind of like that's the East Coast ESPN over in mini, you know. Like, no, we don't like it. We don't like it. Stop. Goligoski, not brought back. Kalen Addison traded one way or another, like the restricted free agent deal and then traded away, I believe. Kalen Addison will not be on the Wild next year. Brock Faber will be on the Wild next year. On the Wild, not Iowa. On Minnesota. So you still got Spurgeon Brodin. They're probably not going anywhere. Their contracts are too high, and then no move clauses because they're God's chosen ones, I guess, for this franchise for now at this defenseman position, regardless of they had a bad season. They kind of did. Spurgeon actually didn't have a bad season. He had a bad playoffs. I thought Brodin had one of his worst years of his entire career, and I am a giant Jonas Brodin fan. He had one of the worst seasons of his entire career. He was an absolute mess at the beginning of the year, got a little bit better, but never really looked like Jonas Brodin, you know? Klingberg, I don't think so, but I guess you never know if he just absolutely loves it here and wants to take a huge discount. Dumba, I'm ready for him to go, and even if he wants to take a huge discount, I'm ready to move on. I'm sorry. I'm ready to move on. Merrill, well, he's extremely cheap, and he's not that good. Maybe he's a seventh defenseman, possibly. But, that's kind of crazy when you think about it. Yeah, there's four guys that will for sure be here. Spurgeon Brodin, Middleton, and Brock Faber will all be on the Minnesota Wild next year. That does leave room for people. Maybe that bottom defense pair. Maybe we make a signing. John Merrill would be like the fifth, sixth, seventh kind of guy. And then the other two players that could be on this team. You might see a Damon Hunt. You might see a Ryan O'Rourke. You might see a free agent signing. You might see maybe they give Kalen Addison another chance. I say probably not. Maybe he has better luck on a different team, this type of thing. And you might see something like that younger guy or some signing. Goligoski probably gets traded. I'm guessing Goligoski gets traded. But you never know. Maybe they bring him back again. Can't imagine he really was that thrilled about the way things went down this year. Didn't get a lot of playing time most of the year. And then he did play and he did well for the most part, and then the playoffs came and he was back on the shelf again. Like, no, that's okay, take a seat, Alex. And it's like, but four guys will be here for sure. Merrill will probably be here whether we like it or not, and then some decisions are made from within. Guys maybe earn the position, guys maybe earn the job at defenseman again because of the cap hell. We're not going to be signing a big free agent defenseman for $5 million a year. No. That's impossible. So Merrill probably stays at 1.2. Goligoski, maybe we keep him, maybe not. Otherwise, we are, Otherwise, it's going to be one of the rookies or two coming up. And we'll see. We'll see how that turns out for the offseason. Obviously, big, it's a huge question because it's a lot of possibilities that could happen. Hartman, obviously, he's not going anywhere at 1.7. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in love with him, but I certainly don't hate him either. That type of thing. There is gonna be a young guy or two that's here, particularly on defense, that's given an opportunity. It's gonna happen. You're gonna see a Damon Hunt or Ryan O'Rourke on the Minnesota Wild for a significant amount of time next year, if not the entire season. if not the entire season. And then in a year or two, Pert and Lambos possibly might be the guys that really help push this thing forward in the future. Hopefully. Pert and Lambos, Lambos and Pert. I always kind of had a feeling Lambos might get traded at some point, but maybe not, though. Maybe not. Well, that's kind of between him and maybe Kyle Masters or Bankier. But Masters is a right shot, so no. I'm excited about Masters. But, yeah, there's Pert and all that. Lambos is left side. So that's what I thought. Lambos is left. I always thought that. So it's going to be interesting. Boy, is it going to be. So coming up forward. So now we'll jump to the next one. Cool question, though. Obviously love that kind of stuff. Why am I stuck on this now? Probably have to head back, get back to where I was. Come on now. Brian Herrera, there he is. Well, I don't know what all was said. I've been busy with work and kids. How dare you? No, I'm kidding. The one thing that irks me is Billy not really caring about making it past the first round. I get the cup is the goal, but we haven't passed the first round in almost a decade. Shouldn't that be top bill? No. I want a Stanley Cup too. Like, see, when the Minnesota Vikings, people are like, oh, we got to at least get to the Super Bowl again, even if we get thrashed by the Chiefs. At least we got to the Super Bowl. No. We get thrashed by the Chiefs, I'll be freaking pissed. I'm not going to drop that word. I'm going to be bleeping pissed. And, yeah, no, I won a Super Bowl championship. For the Wild, yes, I understand getting past the first round is a step. You want to take a step. But I want to take a bigger step than just get past the first round. And then, you know, like in the past, I hated, you know, man, we beat Colorado and then we lose to Chicago. Man, even in a more impressive series the next year, we beat St. Louis in 6 games. We closed them out on home ice. Wild just don't do stuff like that. And then we get swept by the Blackhawks. See, that was depressing. Then it barely felt like we even got to the second round. Like, say, when the Vikings beat the New Orleans Saints and then got thrashed by San Francisco the next week. It's like, ugh, come on. That was in 2019. So, no, I don't think that's top bill. I think top bill is making a playoff run of some sort, which could mean Western Conference final to Stanley Cup final, that type of thing, and hopefully winning it. The Derek Felska round hath returned. Better late than never. Better late than never. And thank you, Derek, so much for jumping back on board. He said it's about bleeping winning. Why isn't getting past the first round a tangible goal for the Minnesota Wild organization if they're not a Stanley Cup contender right now? You know, that's a good point. So I'm sorry, Brian. That is a good point because I know how Derek's kind of, yep. Is it funny how he retweeted to tout the regular season success instead? Weak. Yeah, regular season success is very weak. Very weak. It's nice to have. It's nice that you made the playoffs versus, you know, sucking hardcore. But maybe sometimes sucking hardcore for a year is okay. But then again, yeah, once you suck hardcore, maybe you stay down there. That's what people are always afraid of. I understand. Yes, I'm sorry, Brian. Yes. I do think there's more to it than getting past the first round and getting throttled in the second round. I kind of stand by that. Yet, at the same time, yes, I understand. Taking that next step. Like, if you're not a cup contender, at least get to the second round and then hope for some playoff success. Something. Especially when your team, you know, clearly was one of the better teams in the regular season for an extended period of time. And you had two goalies that were good. One was okay to above average. I actually called Fleury above average. How dare I? No, in stretches he was, but most of the year he was average. Gustav Nyquist, too, was way above average, all-star level goalie until the playoffs where he was what he deemed as average. It's a tangible goal. I get it. It's just that I understand why a general manager is going to poo-poo that only because in terms of, well, you know, if your only goal is to get to the second round, you're probably not. Yeah, you're looking the wrong way. So that's how I see how he meant it. So who retweeted to tout regular season success instead? Yeah, see, I don't like that. No, I don't like that at all. The North Stars had a terrible regular season and went to the Cup Final. And, well, they made it interesting until Game 4. They did. But, yeah, that is a much more fun season. Even though the regular season was crappy and stuff, the 87 Twins were a crappy road team. But won games at home, and they lost their last 5 or 7 games or something. That prevented the Twins from having a little bit better record than, what did they win? They won 85 games in 87. But then who won the championship, despite having by far the weakest postseason record? The weakest regular season record going into the postseason, what I'm trying to say. So, yes, playoff success is much more important than retweeting to tell regular season success. Yeah, that's extremely weak. Extremely. So, I agree with that 1,000%. And 1,000% is a real number. Derek Felska, lightning round continueth. Which Minnesota Wild promotional campaign did you dislike the most? If you had to summarize Bill Guerin's presser in a Wild-like campaign slogan, no matter how snarky or sarcastic, what would you use to describe it? I'm not trying to be a smartass or anything. No, I'm just kidding. Didn't he say something like that? That's a tough one. Promotional campaign. Did you like this like the most? Some of that not weird Wild stuff. It's kind of dumb. Maybe like flowers everywhere in the room. It's like, okay, woohoo. It's kind of dumb. The moose one coming out of the water, it's kind of creative and kind of weird. And he was so freaking disappointing this year. Regular season and postseason, by the way. I said it. Yeah, that guy. The guy that they call the moose. For anybody wondering who I'm talking about, Marcus Foligno. Yes, most of you know who the moose is, I hope. That not weird Wild stuff. It's kind of nonsense. I don't like it. There, I said it. So I'm going to lean that direction. I like the coffee more because it actually made sense. You know why? Zuccarello and Kaprizov passed too much. You're getting too cute. And then Ryan Hartman rolled in, just drank the damn coffee and shook his head. Shook his head and drank the damn coffee. Like, okay, guys, enough. I like that one. That's a slogan. Like, just drink the damn coffee. Stop flipping Saunders around. That type of thing. Anyhow, if I had to summarize Bill Guerin's presser in a Wild-like slogan, no matter how snarky or sarcastic, what would you use for it? You don't win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, it'll be something like, you don't win the Stanley Cup by getting to the second round, or your name doesn't get engraved in the Stanley Cup. That's what I would use. It was kind of funny. I kind of liked the statement. I thought it was funny. So I'm going to lean towards that. That was my favorite part. That's what I would use to describe it. You don't engrave the stat. You don't get your name engraved on the Stanley Cup for getting to the second round. For me, that was my favorite part of the whole thing. So I would do that. Where I actually kind of like that part, so I'll go that way. Next, Bill Guerin. I hope that was okay how I did that, and that wasn't dorky and lame. I hope it wasn't. Derek continues saying, Bill Guerin said that this season's playoff experience helped our players learn what it takes to make it. But they already made it last year, and the year before, and went to the 7th game. Last year was a step back, right? So yeah, good. Yeah, you got me going already, yeah, because that is really frustrating. Yeah, so I'll start over. Bill Guerin said that this season's playoff experience helped our players learn what it takes to make it. Shouldn't the Minnesota Wild have the smartest team in the league about the playoffs, given all these learning opportunities since 2015? Yeah, they really should. They really should. Learning opportunities, yeah. They really should. Like, you got your butt kicked by the Blackhawks getting to the second round, but you beat the Avalanche to get there. That's nice. That's a learning experience. And you actually didn't get your butt kicked that year. You barely lost a 6th game in overtime. You might have gone to game 7 in Chicago. That's a learning experience. Like, maybe next year you overcome and beat Chicago, go to the West Final, and who knows? Even if it is the LA Kings, maybe something happens. man. But then after that, it seemed like, you know, and then you get swept by the Blackhawks and you figure, okay, we should have learned something there. And then, yeah. And then the next year, you know, you barely make it. You get wasted by Dallas in the first round. And then the next year, you look way the heck better and then get wasted by St. Louis in the first round. I know, I'm going over the same stuff and wasted even more by Winnipeg the next year. So yes, lots of learning opportunities and such. And now you get a lot of newer guys the next couple of years and all that. They've had enough learning opportunities since at least the Vegas series, if not the Vancouver bubble series, which I count. When I hear people say, I don't count that one, why don't you count it? It was a 5-game playoff series against a team you should have beaten. So why doesn't that count? Yeah, I think that's crazy, people that don't count that one. That's a learning experience. Fine, learning experience because it's new guys like Fiala and stuff. And then the next year you go to Game 7, you look really good, you make a nice comeback in a series, and then get wasted in the 7th game. But that's a learning experience. So you build on that the next year with home ice advantage and you lose right away. And then the next year, you look like you took some steps back. Then you take some steps forward. This team's actually more playoff ready than last year. Well, we won 2 games instead of one. Oh, wait, no, we won 2 games versus St. Louis last year, too. And bleeping lost in the same fashion, almost exactly the same. So just didn't have home ice advantage this time. So, no, they should be the smartest team in the league. Yeah, they really should be the smartest team in the league. Great point, Derek. Yep. Looks like there's a response in there. Steven Miller, yep, and then it kind of generates a huge back-and-forth conversation. Not huge, but it kind of keeps going. Steve Miller, I'll just read this part. He says, the Hurricanes are scary good because almost everyone can score, not just a couple of dangerous players to defend, 14 skaters with 27 or more points. Yeah, that's pretty good. Four with star seasons, yep. Every four in this group had 10-plus goals. Oh, okay, so Stephen Miller says the Minnesota Wild have a coaching and a talent problem. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that, especially with the special teams. There's definitely lack of talent in certain positions, yeah. I thought, wasn't there a response? Or no, Steve was kind of continuing it. What the heck? I swear the response is in here. What the heck? They're gone. That doesn't make sense. But yeah, people showing all different kind of examples and such. So you can check that out. Connor McDavid, 153 points. Holy smokes. I thought him and Derek were having a back and forth conversation. It looked like it. I don't know if they could. That's an interesting conversation. That's interesting. I don't know what happened there. Anyhow, two more here. Two more in this lightning round. Are the NHL playoffs kind of like the old Sega tease of Nintendo? Sega does what Nintendo don't. The NHL playoff does what the Minnesota Wild won't. Or is that too mean? It's accurate. It's accurate. It's not too mean. I think that's that might be the best playoff slogan in the history of the Minnesota sports. The NFL playoffs what the Minnesota Vikings don't. Yes, the NFL playoffs did what the Minnesota Vikings don't. The New York Giants, the New York Mediocres, the mediocre quarterback that you just signed for $1 billion. I don't know what you were drinking and smoking when you did that, New York. What are you doing? The guy was lousy, mediocre all season. And then that's another rant for another podcast called Purple Mafia, which I already ranted a bit about that. Mediocre all year, but then we made him look like Steve Young or Joe Montana or frickin' who knows, Russell Wilson or whatever. Maybe not Russell Wilson because he didn't run for 100 first downs, but he ran for more first downs than we could ever imagine because our third down defense was horse crap. Because I've reached my limit for swearing, I think, at this episode. Probably could have had 19 swear words by now. That was an awesome slogan. I mean, that is... Derek, you get a... That was awesome. I like that. Are the Minnesota Wild... Are the NHL playoffs kind of like the old Sega tease of Nintendo? Sega does what Nintendo don't. The NHL playoffs does what the Minnesota Wild won't. The Minnesota Wild won't. Or is that too mean? No, it's not too mean. It's not too mean. Because the NHL playoffs drives the net. The NHL playoffs has a penalty kill. The NHL playoffs has a power play. The NHL playoffs is willing to get down and dirty and stop playing cute. Again, the best slogan in Minnesota Wild history, or the best commercial in Minnesota Wild history, was when Ryan Hartman shook his head like, stop passing and screwing around, just drink the damn coffee already. Just like scoring a damn goal already. Perfect. perfect ad. It's the best ad the Wild ever did, ever. The worst ad is some of that other nonsense, like flowers in the locker room and mooses coming out of the water, holding a hockey stick while wearing a uniform, and, you know, yeah. It's cool and creative, but it's, I don't know, kind of dumb. And guys dancing in the locker room and stuff after winning a regular season game. I mean, yay, that's great. You want a regular season game? That's good. Okay, no, keep whatever. Keep your eyes on the prize. Final tweet of the day. Derek Felska says, it has been tossed out that the Minnesota Wild are probably interested in dealing Kalen Addison and possibly Marco Rossi. Would you be in favor of this? Addison, yes. Rossi, it kind of depends on what you're getting. And you know what? I'm right about there. Right about there with Marco Rossi. Just about. So far, he's not as advertised. In fact, he kind of scares me a little bit. Kind of like Ben, you know, like a Ben Wapulia. Hopefully we can get more than Guillaume Latendresse. You know, get a guy that's always hurt, never prepared, and stuff. A guy that was just kind of like, it was kind of one bust for another bust. Hopefully someone else sees something on Marco Rossi that they'd be willing to give up something significant for him, be it a higher draft pick or whatever the heck. Another prospect that maybe, just maybe, hopefully will fit better with us than that other team, and something happens. Maybe both guys end up succeeding, where it's not a Latendresse for Puglia. It's, well, I don't know, Dave Gagne for whoever. You know, like a Dave Gagne. You know, like it's the next Dave Gagne that comes. Like, wow, he's pretty good. Like, he's surprisingly good. You know, that type of thing. Looks like there was a response or two. This might have been where there was a little back and forth. Mick Chicken says, well, if they're looking like a bust, dump them before anyone else figured it out and get whatever you can. Yep. Derek says, I agree, instead of just rotting on the vine. Yeah. Yep. That was good. Steve Miller continues with this thread here. The Wild need a coaching staff who build player confidence rather than tearing it down. Derek Felsky says, I don't think confidence is the only issue with one of those players. Interesting. KFN Girdle says, as in all things, it would depend on the return. Yep. And then Dave Johnson says, Addison, yes. Rossi, no. Looks like there were a couple of responses to Stephen Miller. Yep, he doesn't think confidence is with the players. Yeah, this is where things get a little weird here, where Stephen Miller says, there will be another team who will happily play a young Carlson-level talent. Carlson, like Eric Carlson, huh? Yeah, that's what I was like. Eric Carlson. Interesting. Derek Felska says, Eric Carlson, you really think Addison is at this level? I think that's a big stretch or a big reach. Yeah, looks like there was no response. Yep, okay. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the back and forth. So Stephen Miller. Steve Miller was posting a ton of stats earlier. But that's more of a Twitter thing, in my opinion, just to kind of look it up and check it out. But Eric Carlson. So Steve Miller thinks that Addison could be a Eric Carlson level talent. Interesting. I'm not sure. There's definitely something there, but I'm not sure about the Eric Carlson level. Eric Carlson had a couple of mediocre years in San Jose and then just blew up again, which is great, after being a fantastic player in San Jose. I don't know if Addison's Eric Carlson, but... hopefully he is, for his sake. Other than that, though, I believe that's it. Really appreciate the back and forth conversations. It's not even back and forth, but yeah, there was a little bit of that, but it was all good and healthy. It wasn't disrespectful. Yeah, there are some people on Twitter that are not the best. Obviously, I don't need to name names here on Brave the Wild, but yeah, I mean, luckily I've been blessed. I haven't had a whole lot of people getting snarky and rude with me. But let's just say some people that I know very well were not, I don't know. Some people just don't know when to just like move on and keep their holier than thou conversation. Like they know better than everybody else. So that was kind of, you know, that kind of stuff can be quite irritating. I used to go through that on the Timberwolves Explosion Twitter more often. On this one, it maybe popped up once or twice, but not much. I've been lucky. Where some of you other guys that I've mentioned here, you've been through some crap, and I'm sorry to see that happening. It's a shame. You guys deserve more respect than you get sometimes because your hockey knowledge is fantastic. And you know who you are, very much so. So thank you so much for this. Thank you so much for this wonderful quality show. Great fan interaction. Shout-outs to MNW Prospects/Young Guns on Twitter and Facebook and their own webpage and everything. Keeping up with the prospects. Pavel Benet out of Czechia. Justin Bakke, Duluth area. Brandon Quass, Wisconsin. You guys are awesome. You do an unbelievable job keeping up with the prospects. It's a absolutely sweet page. Twitter account, Facebook page. You guys are awesome. And I say that with full sincerity. Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, Kathy Main, Chad Walski, David Abraham, David and Chance Kostick, many others. Michael Fick, awesome, awesome, awesome. Minnesota Wild Nation, Patrick Turner coming in out of Florida, I believe in the Tampa area. Sorry about the lightning in case you kind of like them a little bit. But really appreciate the Florida loyalty to this show and to the Minnesota Wild. I think that's really cool. During the summer, I wouldn't really want to be in Florida. It's probably a little too humid for me. In the winter, it'd be probably pretty nice, though, most of the time. Obviously, temperatures can dip even there at times, but not too far down like up here. But no, thank you guys so much for a wonderful, wonderful show again. Tell your friends about it. Write a positive rating on Apple Podcasts or any of the other apps that allow you to do so. If you could give a 5-star rating and write something you like about it, even something you like improved, like Joey babbles too much or something, just please don't give me 1 to 3 stars. At least give 4 or 5 if possible. 3 stars is meh. That's not good. 2 stars is just bad. And then 1 star is like it's the worst show ever or sucks hardcore, which I don't think Brave the Wild does. I would hope not. Crease and Assist, don't be afraid to give that one a 5-star rating either as well. Crease and Assist podcast, hugely, highly recommended. Because, you know, I've been enjoying listening to Lockdown Wild as well. Wonderful show. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time around. Will it be a week? Will it be 2 weeks? We'll see. Actually, before I step away, I'm going to look very briefly at the postseason. I was actually going to look at that, and then I just stopped. Super briefly, I'll just kind of go over things a little bit. Of course, Edmonton just got beat badly, or actually beat Vegas badly, pardon me. New York Rangers will have a new coach next season. Gerald Gallant is parting ways with the Rangers. So what's going on there? Really frustrating. Florida's up 2-0 over Toronto. I can't believe it. Carolina looks like they're going to win the Eastern Conference, and I think they will. You might have a Southeastern Conference final this year. Carolina and Florida, that'd be unbelievable. Dallas and Seattle is kind of locked in, and that's going to be a really long series. I think that goes to 7. I think Vegas and Edmonton goes to 7. Looks like they're kind of kicking each other's butts, but it looks like Edmonton's the better team. I love Vegas and everything, but it looks like Edmonton is the better team. It kind of is what it is. Right now, if I'm a betting man, and with DraftKings, you could say I am, Edmonton versus Carolina, with the Carolina Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup. But then again, that might be extremely epic battle back and forth. But I think Carolina is the best team in the NHL right now. Top to bottom, the coaching, all the way down to the, you know, the bottom defenseman, whatever. I think they're the best team in the NHL right now, and remaining in the playoffs. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are the best team. Florida's got incredible talent. Toronto is historic chokers despite their incredible talent. Good coaching and everything. Even Bobrovsky's doing well. So it's going to be super interesting. Vegas is a really nice team, an awesome coach. Very talented team, and they're healthier than they've been. But they kind of got their butts handed to them tonight. I kind of think Edmonton's a little better, whether I like it or not. Seattle and Dallas, I think Seattle's going to win that series. They're kind of like, I think they're going to have their little Minnesota Wild or even Vegas Golden Knights type of season. Maybe they somehow get to the finals, but I think Edmonton wins the West. I think Carolina wins the East. Carolina wins the Stanley Cup. With that said, thank you for listening. Tell your friends about the show, and we will talk to you in a week or two or so to keep up with the postseason and maybe more Minnesota Wild conversation. Oh, yeah, of course there will be.